And so I think that's an absolutely vital part of creating healthy culture, is making sure that we're rooted in identity, not performance. And I think sometimes the prophetic world can kind of drift into a default of performance rather than identity. And so I would say the first key is just knowing who you are in Christ as a son and a daughter.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to this week's what's going to be such a powerful, special episode of Live Your Best Life with, of course, me, Liz Wright. And I have joining me today a genuine father in the faith to many. He is a prophet and he's an apostolic leader and he's a teacher and he's an author. And he really does carry the Lord's heart to see prophets thriving and therefore producing cultures that are healthy and transformational, and a place where God really does reside with his people and feel at home because he's being heard and he's able to speak and be listened to and have relationship with his people individually and collectively. You're going to hear a lot more about that in today's conversation with the amazing Phil Wilthew. Phil, welcome.
Hey, thanks so much, Liz. It's great to be here with you.
It's great to have you on. Like I said before we jumped on, just on live with everybody, it's great to have a Brit on.
I know. Good to have an English accent.
Yeah, I know. I feel so at home. So, Phil, just to begin with, for people listening around the world that are not familiar with your ministry yet, will you give us a little bit of your God story, like how you met the Lord, you know, and how you ended up doing what you're doing now, which is obviously very transformational. And we can hear more about that in a minute. But where did it start for you?
Well, I turned 49 this Friday, so it feels like it started a long time ago. I've been going to church since before I was born. So I grew up as a pastor's kid. So my dad was a Baptist pastor for many years first in Yorkshire and then down on the south coast of England. And I gave my life to Christ as a 6-year-old. And it was a very, in one sense for me, it was a very undramatic experience. I remember just praying by my mother's bedside one evening, just saying to her, "Mum, I want to follow Jesus." And she prayed with me. And then I silently went to sleep. And it was definitely a transformational moment. But I would say for me, it wasn't until I was at the age of 12 when I had my first encounter with the person of the Holy Spirit that literally everything changed in my life. And up to that point, I'd been a very, very timid, very kind of shy young boy, really. I was bullied at school. I had fairly chronic kind of asthma up to the age of about 10. So often couldn't play outside, couldn't do a lot of the stuff that the other kids could do. And consequently, I didn't have much confidence in myself. And I wouldn't have said I felt particularly spiritually alive. But then I got prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And all I can say was, it was like all the lights in my life just suddenly came on. And I remember waking up the next day just feeling different on the inside. And suddenly I just had this desire to worship God, desire to read his words. And I remember that day I was walking to a meeting and I suddenly felt the Lord starting to speak to me out of this rainstorm that happened to be happening at the time. And it was the most surprising moment of my life, because I wouldn't have said God really had ever spoken to me before that moment. And I think what happened for me is the learning to hear his voice and me experiencing a transformation of who I was almost went together. And so from day one of being filled with the Spirit, I just grew to have this kind of love and appetite to hear God. because I knew that it had changed me. And so I knew that God also wanted to change others in the same way. And so for me, I think if I trace back my kind of, I guess, the vibrancy in my spiritual life, it happened at that moment at the age of 12. And from that moment, really, I grew in a hunger for the Lord. And so even when I was at school, I remember, this is pre-digital days, remember, for those that remember those days, I would carry an A4 piece of paper in my back pocket as I went to school every day, and I'd carry a pen. Because every day I would wake up thinking, Father, what do you want to say to me today? And I remember sometimes going to the cubicle at school and just jotting down kind of little words from the Lord, maybe for my friends or things that I felt and speaking to me from scripture. And that kind of just became part of my lifestyle, really. And I was very fortunate to be kind of mentored by some really brilliant and kind of godly people in my early years who helped kind of pull the gold out of me, I guess, and they spotted something in me before I ever saw it in myself. And I guess gradually I got nurtured as both a Christian, but also as someone who had a hunger to hear God and help others to do so as well. So
yeah,
that's my kind of early.
I love it. You're so blessed that you've known him since such an early age. So blessed. And it's so interesting, isn't it? Like I've been having conversations with quite a few people recently where, and I've been noticing it in my own life, it's like Holy Spirit's highlighting how intentional he is in our lives. It's like the way he first encountered you has become a huge part of how you lead others, you know, and how the purpose on your life, it's like it was formed in seed form then, you know, and just the fact that there was such a transformation in you as you heard his voice. And then, like you said, that passion was there. You knew, okay, if that's the result of me hearing him, I want this for everybody. And you do that now. You lead people so they really do flourish in the, as prophetic people. So, okay, so I want to jump into when you're equipping people, because you raise very healthy prophetic voices and help people become thriving communities and healthy cultures, which then supports prophets. So I wanted to ask you, because people really need this kind of wisdom, what do you teach people in terms of, like, how do I actually know it's the Lord speaking to me? How do I really hear his voice and have that kind of transformational experience that you've had?
Liz, that is a great question. I think firstly, just to say something about culture, which, you know, is a, although the word culture never explicitly appears in scripture, it's actually a really biblical principle. And so if you think, for example, about Jesus' very famous parable about the sower going out with sow, and the point is that the word of God can be sowed into all sorts of different environmental conditions. And depending on where it's sown depends on what kind of fruit it yields. And in some ways, that's a lesson to us about culture. Culture is actually an agricultural word. It means to cultivate. And so a farmer will deliberately cultivate his land or her land so that the right crops grow and so that the weeds don't. And so this idea of cultivating an environment so that the right stuff grows is a really biblical concept. And it's obviously amazing in that parable that the soil conditions of our hearts, and also sometimes our corporate environments, particularly if you're in church, matter a great deal as to whether the right things can grow. And so I think when it comes to prophetic culture, I think it'd be one of my convictions that it's not enough to just train individuals how to hear God. We've also got to create cultures that are conducive for that happening with everybody.
That's profound.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does it look like? Teachers.
I think firstly, what does healthy culture look like? Firstly, I think it's got to be rooted in identity.
Yeah.
So I think healthy culture is rooted in understanding who we are in Christ and understanding that we're sons and daughters of a Father who loves us. So I think healthy cultures that where people grow naturally with this expectation of, I can hear God, I'm in communication with my Father. That happens when people understand who they are in him. And so I think that's an absolutely vital part of creating healthy culture, is making sure that we're rooted in identity, not performance. And I think sometimes the prophetic world can kind of drift into a default of performance rather than identity. And so I would say the first key is just knowing who you are in Christ as a son and a daughter. That's the healthy ground in which the right stuff starts to grow.
Golly, that's massive. So you spend quite a bit of time in developing that. Do you really helping people understand their identity so that foundation is pretty solid and we're not driven by the insecurities that cause performance and so on?
100%.
Massive.
Yeah. We have this little phrase that we use, that the prophetic is a sword you hold, not a crown that you wear. In other words, my prophetic gift is not ultimately what defines my identity. My identity is in Christ because of what Christ did on the cross. That is a finished work. I'm absolutely secure in his love for me and the fact that I'm his. And if you took everything else away, that would be enough. Now, praise God, we get to partner with the Father by using these incredible gifts of the Spirit that he gives us. We get to partner in the family business. You know, we are co-heirs with Christ, so we have dignity, we have purpose. But ultimately, the crown I wear is that I'm a son of my Heavenly Father, and that affects absolutely everything else. So we would teach a lot about understanding the Father's heart, understanding who we are as his children. And you know, I know for me, getting to grips with my own fears, my own insecurities, my own hang-ups, my own need to perform, and my own fear of disapproval from others, all that kind of stuff that we all grapple with, those are the kind of almost the rocks of the heart that I've had to deal with to make sure that this culture is a healthy culture. And so I think it's absolutely massive.
It is huge. It's huge. And also, so therefore, to be able to facilitate that, do you really help to develop safety within the culture so that people feel safe enough to be able to become that authentic, you know, so that all the rocks and the bumps and the bruises internally are not driving people's lives and driving, creating mixture in the prophetic expression?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a good way, really good way of putting it. I think most healthy individuals need a balance of safety and adventure. So I think
I like that. Okay, unpack that. I like that.
I think the sweet spot is where we create environments that have a healthy tension between both of those. So I think if you all safety, no adventure, you'll create a real secure environment, but eventually we're going to be bored to tears because we are made with purpose. We're made with a sense of my life means something and I've got something to contribute. On the other hand, if you create cultures that are all about adventure, it's all about pioneering, it's all about doing, it's all about tasks, then again, our default could very much drift towards drivenness. And so I think that the healthy balance is somewhere in the middle where, and I've on that as well, which is so critical that in our teams, we have a mixture of pioneers and developers. And so I would say pioneers have a gift for creating adventurous cultures. Developers have a gift at creating safe cultures. And healthy teams have a balance of pioneers and developers working together. And so I think back to your question of culture, you cannot create a healthy culture unless you also have a healthy team where you honor one another's giftings and pull on each other's strengths, draw on one another's strengths and learn to partner together. And so safety, yes, is an absolutely critical part of, I guess, helping people feel like they're in a space where they can process their junk, process their unresolved stuff in an environment where they know they're going to be loved, they're going to be accepted, they're going to be helped, they're going to be supported, and we're going to call the gold out of one another. Absolutely, that's so important.
So brilliant. I mean, and this applies to churches, church ministry, families, your own marriage, your own relationship. Yeah. You can just apply these biblical principles across the board, and what you produce is health. You know, and a flow of the prophetic that comes from intimacy, right? You really, as you're developing in your identity and your intimacy, your security of heart through your relationship with the Lord, the stream of the utterance of God coming through you, the prophetic expression becomes purer and purer, doesn't it? And it's not competitive when you're building a culture like this. Like you said, you're starting to draw the treasure out from each other, aren't you? Championing each other on, because you're all pulling in the same direction, which is to ultimately operate in security of identity, absolute authentic relationship, and then become an expression that's impacting. So you're really building culture inside the heart of the prophet to begin with, right? And then that starts to take on external expression.
That's right. Because, you know, ultimately out of the overflow of the heart and the mouth speaks.
Yeah. So
I think God's best messages don't just come to us, but they come through us. So, yeah. You know, ultimately, I'm rereading a book at the minute by, it's a very famous book by T. Austin Sparks called The Prophetic Ministry. And he wrote it many years ago, but one of his big points is that the prophet themselves, they are the message. And so prophecy is a gift that anyone filled with the Spirit following Jesus can move in, but prophets are gifts in people form. So they are themselves the gift. And so often the prophet is the message. And so the overflow of our hearts, God is communicating a message to others. And so that internal journey of who we are with the Lord is so important. And the scary thing, I was talking to someone about this week, is that because prophecy is a gift, not a reward for good behavior, it's actually possible for prophets to still prophesy, but not do so out of a place of intimacy with Jesus. And that's a really scary place to be.
Yeah, it is.
Only intimacy plus identity that equals anointing. But you can still operate in a gift, but not have anointing. And I think that's a scary, scary reality. And all the time, the Father's wanting us to operate out of this overflow of our relationship with Him, being people that are walking with Him in the secret place, you know, where icebergs, there's more under the surface that you don't see than there is above the surface that you do see, you know, where people building a hidden life with God, we've got a history with Him. And I think ultimately, great prophets, I think God will judge them more by the secrets they were able to keep in His counsel than the things that they were actually able to share in public. There's something about integrity in the secret place, which is all proving ground for a prophet.
Yeah, I agree. You just said about 25 really profound things. And I want to talk to you about that nugget and that nugget. It's true though, isn't it? Like we are the message as prophets. We live it. It's a lifestyle. It's a walk. It's a revelatory flow that's moving into your heart from the Lord's heart through your union. And I think the Lord is really, I'm sure you're experiencing this too, Phil, but He's really purifying the prophetic right now, isn't He? He's drawing us back to that place of absolute authentic connection with Him. So there isn't that distance between the prophetic gift operating in our relational connection to Jesus, but actually it's all one. The gift is operating and we're expressing Him. And I think the times are so serious, aren't they? Like people are desperate to hear Him. And we owe that to the world to be authentic in our relationship with Him and our expression. Like you said, we become the message, and to really invest in our relationship with Him so that, and then like you said, the culture that then is consequently produced is not toxic, but it's kingdom, and it hosts the presence together. We host the presence of God, because in the end, it's not about us, is it? It's about Him. It's about Jesus.
That's right.
Expressing through our lives.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. Recently, there was a survey done with people who are part of what's called Gen Z. So perhaps,
you know, love Gen Z.
Anybody who's watching us that's kind of under a certain age, certainly under the age of 25. And the survey was fascinating in that the value that they seem to crave most of all in church is not razzmatazz, is not lights, is not PowerPoints, is not fancy presentation, But the number one thing that they're looking for is authenticity.
Yeah.
Something that's real, something that's egregious, something that's the same in private as it is in public.
Yeah.
And I think that is one of the purifying works that the Lord's doing right across the body of Christ in the world at the moment, is that he's bringing integrity and authenticity back to the church.
Yeah. And a desire for it. I'm hearing that too. We all want that. And I think gone are the days of like the unhealed emotional needs within us being the driving force of our life, but actually the driving force of our life now being, I just want you to be revealed through my life, Jesus.
That's right.
That's the driving force of the prophetic movement. Amen. But I'm hearing it, like the desire in all of us is that, isn't it? And that's the grace of Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah, it is. And you know, you can chart all sorts of seasons in God through history where it's like the Lord starts to restore things to the body of Christ. And I think that is one of the things that's being restored in this season, is just this hunger for what's real, hunger for what's authentic. And that goes for the prophetic as much as anything else. I think one of the things that God's doing in the earth at the minute is bringing forth a church that really is the church. And part of that, I think, is going to be a greater sense of unity. Part of that is, I think, God breaking down competition and tribalism amongst different parts of the body of Christ. Ultimately, we are one body. There's many different expressions, but we're one family.
Yeah.
And something in this season about God heralding again the glory of the church in all her different shapes and forms and colors and expressions, but that we begin to operate as one family. And I think that's going to be transformational in the world, where people begin to encounter that.
Yeah, I agree. We're completely on the same page. We absolutely believe the same things, Phil. I mean, these are the things that I've just been holding in my heart and sharing at appropriate times, and I'm passionate about and praying for that this will be all of our experience, like you said, right across the denominational spectrum, every single expression of the body of Christ around the world, that Jesus will be visible, that it will be authentic, and that people will experience him. And I know with the cultures that you build and how you raise the prophetic this way, with this value system and this heart, the local, the individual, local and regional impact is transformative, isn't it? Because you're helping people host the presence of Jesus authentically. And to me, that's extremely exciting, because in the end, that's what it's all about. People are going to, they connect to you and to the communities you help to get really healthy, and they experience Jesus and their lives are changed. That's what it's all about.
That is what it's all about. The goal of the prophetic ministry is to reveal Jesus and to point people to him. Like, he is the sum goal of prophetic ministry. Testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So you're absolutely right. And if when we lose sight of that, then we've lost sight of the main aim of the prophetic. And I think it is about having a kingdom mindset as well, so that this is not just about benefiting our church meetings, but it's actually transforming culture. And prophets operate in all sorts of different spheres of influence, not just inside the church, but particularly outside of the church. And I think this is a season where God is wanting to accelerate and release and empower prophets, particularly in culture, to be salt and light, to be like Joseph was in Egypt, who he was like yeast in the dough, and in the right time, because he stewarded his heart and his gift well, he became the most influential voice, not just in one nation, but across nations.
Yeah.
And I think God is doing a process of mobilizing his people, and bring hope wherever we are.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, you know, although there are many different offices of prophet and expressions of prophet, we are all prophetic people. So this is for all of us, that we can all reveal the heart of the one that we are living in intimacy with. Right? That he is within us and he wants to have voice and expression through his body collectively. Okay, so I wanted to just ask you, in summary, what would you say or say like the primary keys that will help us, say we're, you know, one of you out there that's listening and watching us now, and you go, I want to be an authentic expression, and I know I'm in a complete mess right now on the inside. What would you say, Phil? Okay, like, moment of reset, adopt these principle values into your life to move forward in a simple way to really shift from unhealthy state to growing in healthy state. What would you say the most important keys that people can adopt right now to shift?
Well, number one is build intimacy with Jesus. So everything flows out of your walk with him. So find whatever tools you need to build a secret life with Jesus, where you learn to talk to him, walk with him, read his word, love him, worship. Ultimately, whoever you behold, you become like. And so I think if you want your life to be transformed, then you start looking at Jesus more than perhaps you are right now. And you do whatever you can to get the help you need to do that. I think someone once said, you know, make a daily appointment with the Lord and keep it. And I think that's where you start. I think we're not meant to be islands. So we're meant to change in community. So we need one another. So I would say find community where you can be known, where you can be loved, but also where you can contribute. And know that your process of changing is going to happen alongside other people, brothers and sisters who have got your back, who love you and can support you and cheer you on. And then thirdly, just try and understand what God's mission for you is, because I think part of our finding freedom is not just about seeking self-improvement, but is about asking, who am I here to help on this planet? And finding your purpose is part of also finding yourself. And I think that's why Jesus said, actually, if you lose your life, you'll find it. Give it away and you'll discover what you were made for. So there would be a few places that I would start.
Brilliant, brilliant. Back to the basics that are actually profound and transformational in impact when applied. It's not complicated, is it? But we can get so complicated. And so just simplify back to these principles and life changes dramatically. So good. So good. Okay, we just have a couple of minutes. Can I ask you to just pray for everybody, whatever is in your spirit?
Liz, that'd be a privilege. Yeah, let's pray.
Yeah.
Yeah, Father, we thank you so much that you love us, you for us, you gave your life for us. Lord, we judge the value of something by what someone's willing to pay to purchase it. And we are amazed when we think that you gave your only son to purchase us. Lord, that is amazing to me. Lord, what value you put on our lives. We are literally the apple of your eye, Father. And I pray for anyone who's listening to this right now that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, come and communicate to them how precious they are in your sight, how much you're for them, how much you love them. And I pray that this today for some would be like a catalytic turning point of turning our faces towards Jesus in a new way. And I pray more than anything else out of this today, you would spark new intimacy with the Lord, that we'd be people that walk with you, talk with you, love you, receive your love. Father, we pray for healthy cultures on the inside of us, but also, God, wherever you've planted us, I pray that just like Joseph transformed Egypt, I pray that you would plant us in places that we were born to transform. And I pray for any prophetic people, any prophets who are listening to this right now, that you would supercharge that call and that you'd bring health to that ministry and that you would make it transformative in culture. Father, you said that we were to be like a light set on a hill, that we were to shine our light before people, that they might praise our Father in heaven. And I pray that you'd put your glory on display through your people in the most magnificent way, Lord, right across the nations. We say, Father, will you come and do a new thing? Awaken and revive us, save the nations, and have your way. And we say, Jesus, make your name famous. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Wow. Amen. Wow. Amen. We agree. There's such a beautiful way that Holy Spirit is manifesting his presence right now. As you were praying, Phil, and we are in full agreement for all of you. I feel like the Holy Spirit is bathing you guys. There's a grace right now to untangle from defilement. There's no condemnation. The Lord is just reaching out and releasing a fresh washing. So if you've been tangled up in compromise, if you feel like you've been far away, desensitized, traumatized, whatever your journey looks like, I felt like when Phil was praying then, the Lord just drawing you in and bathing you afresh with like a soothing application of his presence that's purifying to bring you out of compromise, bring you out of mess, bring you out of sensation of separateness and distance back into the ability to really walk with him in a renewed strength and place of intimacy so that your walk, you feel authentic, you're experiencing authentic connection, authentic progression, deepening of intimacy. Holy, wow. So, no, whether you've been walking the Lord for 20 years or 5 minutes, the Lord is taking you deeper right now into him, right now into a different level of grace to really experience a different measure of unity, oneness with him and purity of heart and ability to enjoy him and live from that secure place, like Phil was saying, of identity, awareness of who you are and who you belong to and the reason why you're on this planet. So we agree. We agree. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And I really encourage you, we will put the link below the show today so that you can jump on and find Phil's resources. They are super empowering, full of wisdom. So I encourage you to jump on if you need resources to just nourish yourself with. Jump onto the website and you'll be able to get hold of Phil's material. Phil, thank you for being with us, for giving us your precious time and sharing your wisdom.
Thank you. It's an absolute privilege. Thanks, Liz.
Guys, thank you for tuning in and being with us as well, giving us your precious time. Have the most beautiful week, going deeper and deeper and deeper in your experience of Jesus. Amen. Look forward to being with you again next week. God bless. I'm so excited to announce our first 365 days a year devotional, where every day you will be able to experience God as you begin your day. You'll be able to switch it on and experience God, his presence enfolding you as you begin your day and the truth just pouring into you and his presence just pouring into you. So it's called Experiencing God's Love Every Day. If you jump on to lizwright.org and just click on it, and you will be able to download it straight away and you'll be able to begin to experience him. Just, I encourage you, it's what I do as I open my eyes in the morning. I say, good morning, Jesus. And then begin to experience him. And I've just been able to create an asset now where you can do the same, experiencing his love every day. It changes your life as you begin each day like this. So, yeah, jump onto lizwright.org and you'll be able to find it there. God bless.